Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the weekend lunchtime, brunch time, fun afternoon edition of the Jay and Rob Toy Show. I am one of your hosts, Rob McCallum, but allow me to bring in the Fozzie Bear to my Kermit the Frog or the Bert to my Ernie. I don't know which you'd prefer out of the two. Well, you know what? We'll let him be Big Bird and I'll be Mr. Snuffleupagus. Anyways, my collaborator, my co-host, my lifelong buddy, Mr. Jay Bartlett.
Yo, 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 what's up? Just listen to some ICP.
Yeah, you know me.
Can I make a confession to everyone out there watching? I hate Sesame Street. I never liked it.
That's not true. That is not true. And I have video footage that we've shared with everybody that says otherwise.
Now I've changed my mind. I liked Fraggle Rock. I liked that one. The Muppet Show was okay, but I'm not a big variety show guy. But I don't like Sesame Street. And then today I saw like Dave Grohl was like on an episode or something. So
several.
I was trying to find that episode. I'm like, oh, maybe I should get the entire DVD collection now.
That's such
people still buy DVDs?
Yeah, they do. They're actually, for all the reasons that you talked about the last couple of weeks, you know, people go to look for a title, they can't find it. Well, it sucks. It's not on your favorite platform. So yeah, people are buying that stuff like hotcakes. I'm surprised, you know, how can you not like Sesame Street? I mean, I can understand different iterations and different timelines where there's certain cast members and, you know, the stuff with Jim Henson performing versus the post stuff versus newer stuff and older stuff.
Nah, I didn't know any of that stuff as a kid. That didn't matter to me. I think it was
but you can tell.
Learning stuff on TV, I think. I need mind-numbing, spirit-crushing game shows. That's what I need.
Well, those are pretty spirit-crushing game shows that are, you know, operating probably at a faster pace than your G.I. Joe and Transformers episodes. That's Sesame Street set the bar for fast-paced children's entertainment. They used all the advertising techniques, right? They said, what if we did commercials that were only like a minute or two long and stacked a bunch of them together into a 60-minute episode so kids couldn't look away because they move so fast?
What did Big Bird do to me?
He did so much to you. Hi, Jay.
That's a good question. He didn't really do much to me. I just don't like it.
Muppet Babies for Life, Ryan says, of course.
Muppet Babies are great. I love that cartoon. I love the toys from McDonald's.
Those are classic.
Those toys. I think it was Gonzo the hard one to get? Gonzo was the one everyone wanted.
I don't remember any of them being hard. I didn't have that collector mentality when those were. Even the Fraggle Rock toys from McDonald's were classic as well.
That stuff was great, man. I miss being like a veggie. I do miss McDonald's. I miss the food.
You know they have a plant-based burger, right?
I just won't support them. But I miss the toys is my point. Like,
oh, well, you can still buy the toys.
I miss the toys. I miss, you know, the cool stuff. Like, you can get, like, hockey cards and stuff now at, like, Tim Hortons and really cool toys still at McDonald's. I just miss those days. I guess because it's, like, there's no traditional television anymore. So you're not, like, glued to the TV, forced to watch these commercials, right? So I kind of, like, I'm out of loop with all the fast food toys. If there's any left, if they still exist.
They still exist, and they're usually tied to the bigger tentpole films that come out, so the big Disney animated stuff or the Pixar stuff, because kids are buying Happy Meal, so they go for the biggest kid stuff that comes out. And usually it's like the Disney is with the McDonald's and the Universal DreamWorks is with the Burger King. You know, tier one and then tier two. Way down here. I want to say hi tier to Ryan zero. B. Right. Hi to Ryan B. He's saying, I hope everyone's feeling great. Jay and Rob, you rock. You guys are killing it with the content this week. Severus Snape says afternoon all. And he's chiming in that Cookie Monster, Oscar the Grouch, and the Count are classic characters. I'd have to agree. I'm curious about everybody's favorite Sesame Street character, which one they like the most. Was it one of the A-list recurring characters, or was it some of the more deep cuts like Guy Smiley or Mumford the Magician or
Mr. Hooper? Like, my favorite.
Mr. Looper. It's Hooper, Big Bird. Articulated Chad, good morning, everybody. I guess it depends on where you are. It's just past 12 o'clock here. Time for a sip of coffee. We got a big show going on today, my friend. Big show indeed.
Well, you should have queued up the big show music.
Well, it's the big show.
It was on a podcast a couple weeks ago for to celebrate WrestleMania's greatest moments, and on the panel of gentlemen, I was by far the least experienced, But most of the matches we're talking about were classic, but there's a lot of stuff that the guys were talking about, like the new stuff. And it's funny, right? One reason I stopped watching it was because, you know, speaking of Big Show, a lot of the characters just, they were just nobody. It was just like Don Smith. And it's like there's no like superhero stuff anymore.
That's like the WCW formula though, right? Like they're just, it's just some guy. Ted Johnson. Yeah,
WCW had a bit of both, right, with Sting and stuff like that. But like the WWF now, from what I've seen, just from like looking at toys and stuff, it's just, it's all like just regular dudes. That's,
you know why, so though, right? You know why?
I don't know why.
It's because if they do well, like Dave Bautista and Randy Orton, they don't have to go through the same headaches and obstacles that Dwayne Johnson had to go through, where everybody just knew him as The Rock. They can be a brand on their own regular name just by themselves.
Believe me, I wish I had that problem. Oh no, people are going to call me The Rock instead of Jay.
You know what? Call you Jay The Rock if you like.
Come on.
We can call you Andy.
I'm sure he's fine with the millions and millions of dollars that he has. I'm sure he's great. And his likeness rights, when every time a game comes out every year and toys come out. I wish I had that problem. That's a good problem to have.
Well, start branding yourself with one of those cool moniker handles, one of those avatars.
Stadium Rock J guy.
I like it. I like it. Dad Slipper J.
Dad Slipper J. Yeah. I like that comment. That's funny. Is my buddy Jay wrote that on my Facebook, because I love showing us jamming. It's just, we have so much fun, so I like to share it. That's what social media is all about. And of course, it was all about the dad slippers I had on. But you know, what do you want me to wear? Like shoes inside? Come on.
I want some Converse One Stars or some Chucks.
Yeah, but I don't like to wear shoes inside. Maybe I can get some bands for the inside and just wear them inside. Maybe I'll do that.
I've got inside
more
rocker shoes.
Maybe I'll be more accepted amongst the rock community. I don't know.
I've got inside shoes. I swear by them. They're just more comfortable than slippers. You got more traction when you're chasing kids or puppies.
I just find it funny that out of all the things you could have looked at in that picture, it's the slippers that stick out.
Well, it was the box of Tide Pods that I was really interested in the corner. You guys are doing Tide Pod Challenge where you guys are jamming, huh?
Tales from the laundry room. All the best jam spots have always been the laundry room. Just a fact.
Is it? Is that like all the best parties end up in the kitchen?
All the best parties end up in the kitchen. All the best jam spots are in the laundry room or your friend's room that's beside the laundry room that's basically a laundry room because it doesn't have real walls, Ferg.
Let me ask you this. Does anybody ever actually play music and not look at each other? Can you imagine just like playing and not looking at the drummer behind you?
Yeah, we did that, from 2009 to 2011 with Rock Band?
Yeah.
And it's funny, you know, as great as that game was, looking back at some of those pictures, or I found some videos of us playing, if you can believe that, we're all just like, we're all into it, but it's like, you can move your head either way, but the eyes don't leave the screen. It's actually kind of creepy looking.
Look back on it,
we're rocking out, but you can't look away because you don't know what's coming up, right?
Our icebreaker this week, Jay, brought to us, of course, by Retro Rags, Mock Masters, your definitive source for protective clamshells for those dollies that you hang on the wall. Big Bad Toy Store, awesome online retailer. And, of course, our hometown store of London, Ontario, Heroes Comics and Cards. The icebreaker this week, Jay, is... but we got a bunch of questions this week, so let me just throw it out there. It's almost like assorted flavors, like 31 flavors, like Baskin-Robbins, except for there's not 31 questions, there's like six. So it's maybe the most disappointing Baskin-Robbins ever. But the icebreaker, and it's really a good one, and it goes back to a lot of stuff that we've done, almost everything. Is it the act of collecting, or is it the appeal of the toy that keeps us going?
That's a good question. You go first. Let me think about it. That's a good one. Because that's really like a deep thought question.
I know. It's the icebreaker. It's to get things going.
I'll go and say that in the realm of video games, and this is me being completely transparent and honest with everybody, collecting the games became much more fun than playing the games. That's just the truth. That has nothing. I'm not slamming on the quality of games or whatever, any of that stuff. It's just collecting the games became the game. And I think you actually said that to me a long time ago. That's where I kind of remembered that. With toys, I do enjoy toys more because you don't, like we've talked about before, you don't have any time commitment. You can just look at it, pose it, put it away. You don't have to sit down and go through this big intro and all that kind of stuff like you do with a game or a movie. I don't know. I think if you took hunting out of it, and we can all kind of relate to this with the pandemic, where a lot of us, you and I, were getting stuff online because you couldn't go out the last 2 years and get toys, really. Getting that stuff delivered to you is very easy, but it's not nearly as satisfying.
Yeah, I mean, almost all new stuff. Excuse me, almost all new stuff for toy collectors. It's all pre-order. I mean, some of the stuff trickles into the local stores. I know Heroes is blessed with a lot of stuff that most people have to pre-order, but a lot of it is you got to buy it online. So there is no thrill of the hunt there. I think the collecting is the constant fuel, and the actual toy, in the sake of toys, is just enough of a reward that it's worth going through the hassle of collecting and the ups and downs and the twists and turns to get it. If you could pre-order vintage toys like you could, say, off eBay, it's not nearly as fun, and I think people would burn out a lot quicker if that was the only way to acquire stuff. I think the reason we keep collecting is because we get out there more and we meet more people and we find new interests and discover things that we didn't know. And it's really the magic of the sense of discovery when you walk into a toy store. You might be looking for some G.I. Joes to fill slots in your collection as you go after all of a real American hero. But then you see, like, oh my God, they have Silverhawks, and they never have Silverhawks. I need a mint Quicksilver. So then you get that, and you look slowly on your dolly shelf, and you get more. I think the thrill of the hunt, whether it's games or toys or stamps or comic books or coins or whatever, is 80% of it. I think the actual thing is good enough on its own, and it's cool, but I don't think it keeps you in it full time like we're full time collectors. Without that hunt, I think that hunt is so important. So important.
I would agree with your statement. If we were talking about video games, toys, I don't think it's that high of a percentage for the hunt. I'd say it's about 50-50. Because a lot of times where I love just walking around here and just looking at everything, and I get such joy from that.
When you say 50-50, you're essentially saying you equally need 100% both.
Well, yeah, I mean, the hunt is fun, and I'll take you to, I went to the Kitchener Toy Show last weekend, and I hadn't been to, I guess, a con or whatever you want to call it, a toy show, since 2019, or I think it was January 2020 before everything hit. And there's nothing like being in a room where you can just look at everything, and it's really exciting. I forgot how cool that is. But I was definitely had a few key pieces in mind. So the hunt is there, and that's exciting, but I didn't find the pieces I wanted. So I was a little disappointed because I wanted to, put a few of those on my dolly shelf. So I would say it's 50-50 for me.
Yeah, it's definitely 80-20 for me because I like the game. I really like the game, and I like the chase. And it's pretty clear where my passion lies mainly. It's not like, again, imagine Nintendo Quest. We just filmed you on eBay for 30 days.
Action Figure Venture is, I would agree. Yeah. I see where you're going because Action Figure Adventure, this stuff is for charity, right? So we get to enjoy it a little bit, and then, it goes up for auction kind of thing. So yeah, I see what you're saying.
In the chat, Skelevator saying it's the appeal of the toy. Articulated Chad says, to an extent, it's both. I need the appeal of the toy in order to want to collect it because I don't need everything. And I only like the stuff that speaks to me. Severus Snape chimes in. It's the thrill of the hunt. Ryan B. agrees with Chad. Well said, Chad. I agree.
The thrill of the hunt is definitely an addicting feeling. Absolutely. I guess a lot of that got kind of killed when pre-orders really took over since the pandemic started. I've talked about the classified pre-orders time and time again, so I won't go into that. But this notion of they do an online con live on, Facebook or whatever, and then right after, it's like trying to get KISS tickets online. It's like you have to be there. I don't like that. That's an unnecessary stress for me, and I think both of us have just given that up. I don't care. If I want the Storm Shadow figure, hopefully I'll come across it, but I'm not going to go through that stress anymore. And I'm just speaking for myself because it is extremely stressful to me. I don't like that race. I don't like that.
I'm walking back from that a little bit because 99% of the time I'd 100% agree with you. It's not worth the hassle. I don't like driving to every retail big box store looking for the new wave and that one chase figure that's, you know, one per case. But at the same time, I do appreciate, you know, the adage, you know, the work you put in is what you get out of it. And if you've just got to put effort in and show up somewhere at the right time and you're not, you know, battling bots online or technology and stuff like
that. I don't mind that. If you're driving home from work or you're, you know, just picked your kids up from school and you pull into Walmart and you happen to see the newest wave of Origins, that's wicked. Of course, that's great. But what I mean is I don't have time now, and neither do you, to go around to all these stores, you know, every single day and come up empty-handed. So,
but like KISS tickets, I don't ever have a problem or anything that I remember. Like, yeah, maybe it was a little bit of a pain to wake up at 7, go downtown, wait outside Sunrise for, you know, 2 or 3 hours, talking, getting excited, getting the tickets, except for at the mercy of the guy running the cash register and all that. But I don't mind putting that effort in, just like I didn't mind the effort of doing midnight releases with games. You know, there's something fun about that component to the story rather than
if you're in a crowd of people and it's organic that way. But if you're doing it mechanically through a computer, I find it incredibly stressful. Every time Foo Fighters tickets go on, that's a bad example because they're not super hard to get. Like Pearl Jam sells out in like 5 seconds. Something like that is very stressful to me. And yeah, I just don't like that experience. I like you said, you know, we would get up and go down to Sunrise. And you might not get the best tickets, but you know if you were fifth in line, you were getting tickets for whatever it was. So
right. People are chiming in the chat. Ryan says, I'm kind of different than other collectors I see now in that this nostalgia wave that's been happening the past few years has actually made me back off of vintage collecting quite a bit for now. 1-6 shooter chimes in. I don't enjoy, nor do I have the time to drive around to 12 Target and Walmarts to even get regular figures. The hunt for me is searching for a bargain online for a figure I've been wanting to add. That sounds exhausting, having to search for just regular figures to find a bargain online. Like, I guess, you know, if you're just like killing time waiting for a bus to come or you're between activities and you just throw up on eBay or Amazon, you're looking for something. But the idea of sitting down and scrolling through listings for a figure, that is a complete mental drain that I can't endure. To me, that's as bad as having to drive to 12 Targets because, I mean, Jay, how many times have you gone on eBay looking for a figure that isn't exclusive to Canada? And just like getting depressed, like with the prices that you're going to have to pay in order to get it.
Yeah, all too often, which is why I've pretty much backed off from most new stuff. If I see a figure where I happen to be and it's cool, I'm not saying I won't pick it up. But yeah, I would rather just go down the vintage hole again and just collect and complete some harder to get lines. You're pretty much putting in the same money, except I doubt very much that a lot of this modern stuff will be even worth a quarter of what the vintage stuff is. So,
well, that's a really good, that's a whole show right there. And maybe we can stretch that out. Maybe we'll put that in, on the next show. I'm going to write that out right now.
Yeah.
Will current toys be more expensive or collectible than retro goodness?
Yeah. I'll hold my thoughts on that then.
Okay. We'll save that for next week, perhaps. Cause that's a great one, to be honest.
Yeah.
Kudos to you for throwing that idea out there. Let's get on with the show. We got a lot of homework and stuff to catch up on. The auction update. So we had another auction end and another auction begin. And if my memory is not failing me, I think General Spydrex and the Spider Flyer came to a close and the sale barge has started taking bids now as well. Is that correct?
100%. The barge is large and in charge, and definitely there's a bidding war happening, which is exciting considering what we paid for it. Check out Action Figure Adventure Season 2 when that's out to see what price that is. But right now, there's some great margin for Children's Health already. Very, very pleased. Spydrax, not so well, but like you and I have talked about before, Spydrax didn't sell, which is fine.
Yet.
Yeah, well. Yeah, so, I mean, you win some, you lose some. That's just the way she goes kind of thing. But I think it's a very expensive piece, and having two obscure of the same toy line. Like, if we had two Dino Riders, I think the same thing would have happened.
I don't think it has anything to do with what we got, because we put it on eBay and sure, we're promoting it, but there's collectors from all over the world that are looking for any of these stuff. It doesn't matter what the inventory is. You could have had 10 items. You could have had 100 items.
I think
do people want to pay that for that thing?
That's
always
the
question.
Yeah. What I paid for that Spydrax is a lot. So I don't think maybe, you know, what you said last week, maybe when the new show comes out, people will have interest in the old line. Again, it's a very small line to collect for. There's 9 figures and a couple mounts and some side pets, right? But we'll see. But for now, he's sitting here collecting dust.
For now. I believe it got relisted on eBay, did it not? Or did that get taken down?
I stopped that, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So we're going to find a home for General Spydrax or the Spider Flyer. If you are interested in a mint condition, reach out to us. Yeah. Make us an offer. Maybe we can avoid eBay and the eBay fees and find a happy home for it for you guys. It is the most pristine retro toy I think I've ever seen of that scale, especially for that line. It is a shelf piece for sure, like a centerpiece of anyone's collection. You definitely got to
reach out
to us.
The problem with that one that I have is because it costs so much money, that's one that I'm not going to lose money on. So,
well, you're not going to lose money on any of them. That's the thing. Like, it's all about margins. And I don't think you made a bad decision picking it up, regardless of the other stuff you got. I think everything you picked up was the right choice to make.
And that's weird. The Dino Rider, which did great, still is one that I'm like, should I have got that one?
I told you
of the obscure. That's like getting StarCom stuff.
But it was sealed and it was affordable and you got great margins on it. So that's why it sold and it's collectible. You know, anything that's closer to the 90s and Dino Riders is, I think, 89 versus like mid 80s. Anything closer to the 90s now, it's that 30-year gap that's hot, right? So I'm sure when you went to the toy show, you saw tons of 90s stuff.
No.
Never mind. So much for that theory, Rob.
Honestly, I looked around at that toy show and there was a lot of great stuff, but I picked up one thing, you know, because it was there was nothing, and which is really great because as I said, as I look around now, I'm really satisfied with where my collection is. Like, I'm very, very content. You know, I didn't feel
famous
like
famous really. Last words, dude.
I think there was honestly, last words. There was one thing that I wish I got, which was John from Chips, the Mego Chips. Yeah, I had the bike with the windshield and the helmet and all that stuff, and I kind of regret not getting him because it's, again, one you don't see in good condition, but fair. I'm not gonna lose sleep over it. But most of the stuff was modern, to be honest. Modern stuff, like, you know, the new droid figures, the reissues of the droid figures, Boba Fett for $50. I'm like, I don't think so. Get out of here, man. I'm done with that stuff.
I'm jotting that down for next week's show, Modern Figs at toy shows. So we'll talk about that too. Yeah. The other big thing that's coming up, Jay, you have seen the trailer for Action Figure Adventure Season 2, which is something that we will unveil when our brand new Kickstarter, ladies and gentlemen, the Kickstarter for Action Figure Adventure Season 2 is coming your way April 26th. It is your chance to secure a digital copy, a physical copy, be it DVD or Blu-ray, of the next season of our flagship show. So there it is. And, well, let's just get some of your reactions to the trailer. Because, again, you've only seen 2 episodes. You're a busy guy. You don't got time for our Dolly show that was so last summer. What did you think of the trailer?
It was great. It's hard. It's hard to your work is great. The way you cut it, your editing is great. It's hard for me, like I said, to commentate on myself. You know, I think it sucks you in more. It's a lot quicker paced. I think people are going to enjoy it. I just think the adventure is just it's. I think it's better because it was all during 1 week period. It wasn't spread out through the year. So the urgency, you can see the urgency within the show. You can also tell clearly by the masks and other things that we are very uneasy because we're going across Canada during a pandemic, which is foolish, or it might not be foolish. I don't know, but we still did it because the children's health is an important mission. And you can see that in the trailer. There's a lot of shots in the episodes where I'm uneasy.
Mm.
if anyone knows me, I'm a huge germaphobe. So even being in the stores, I didn't want to touch anything. But I think it's exciting and it adds to the show.
Yeah, I mean, you think it's awkward to talk about yourself. Like, how am I supposed to talk about it? Right. So that's why I put it on you, because at least you're a little bit more
removed. Yeah, and you can't talk about your trailer, right? It's
that's even more.
Yeah, but it's great. Like, you're a master of your craft, and that's if you guys haven't seen Rob's first ever, I would say, YouTube video, you know, you're on the channel right now. So after this, check it out if you like Disney crap, because it's really, really well done. I just watched
it. Oh, you watched it?
I watched it. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm not going to make any more videos. I'm done.
Well, our rule is we never ask each other to watch anything. Our rule is
I ask you all the time. I'm like, I need the view. Can you please just click on it?
Well, that's true. And I create a fake YouTube account just to give you all the likes.
Well, I mean, just watch it. You don't have to watch it. Just click on it.
Just click it and walk away.
Everybody in chat right now, please. Just click on my videos. You don't even have to watch them. Just click on it. So YouTube,
in fact, don't watch them. And just click it. Please don't watch. I don't want your eyeballs on what I do. That's very nice of you to say. And I would say it is my very first YouTube video that I actually created, because everything else I post is just, you know, trailers or stuff for our projects or stuff that we've shot and I've recut and put up there. So, yeah, it's taking a look at the action figure wish list. It's like I said, the new series that I'm going to probably start putting out. I don't know how frequently, but looking at Disney Ultimates, which again, a bit of a niche line from Super 7, but I love the Disney stuff. If you like Disney stuff, you get to hear my thoughts on that stuff. So,
yeah, it's a great watch and it's fun. I'm not a huge fan of the Disney characters, but yeah, that definitely intrigued me for sure.
Well, I'm curious about your video too, my friend. Why Kenner's Indiana Jones? You're okay. Never mind. Moving on. I don't care.
I know that.
I'm curious about why you think Indiana Jones failed, because one of our very first episodes, we talk about how come there aren't like current updated like adult collector Indiana Jones figures. So I'm curious now.
Well, there was, right?
I want like adult collector 6-inch scale Indiana Jones Ultimate.
Well, here's the thing. Okay. And my new video is called Why Did It Fail? How could this gigantic IP with Steven Spielberg's name, George Lucas, Harrison Ford behind it, how could a toy line, Kenner, who's behind Star Wars, how could it fail?
If I tell you,
then no one's going to click on the video. So you got to head on over to my YouTube page and check it out.
I'm curious because I have my thoughts, but I want to hear your thoughts. That's the intriguing part. And then I'll tell you how wrong you were and all the things that you left out. Yeah.
Well, after you gotta, the fact,
or in the comments.
Got to watch the video.
Gareth is saying, best of luck, guys. Hope season 2 is on Prime again. It won't be as of right now. It will not be on Prime. We had a distributor for season 1, the Nacelle Company did the toys that made us, and we don't have a home yet for season 2. We haven't approached anybody. We always go to Kickstarter first, and if it does well on Kickstarter, then that kind of just, we're happy with where that goes. It'll, of course, be broadcast in Canada on like real TV through Jinx Esports Television Canada, but it's not going anywhere else yet. We haven't figured out where it's going to go, so I'm not in a rush to sell it anywhere. The series is done. The Kickstarter is basically for finishing funds and to get the series put on disc. If we don't hit our goal, which I think right now is only $5,000 or $10,000, I'm not sure what it is. It's not high, but if it doesn't hit the goal, then it'll never be released on disc. Simple as that. Anything we would get above and beyond that initial goal is basically going to go to pay for post audio, insurance, and legal costs, which are $25,000 on themselves. So any help would be great getting it out there, and it would just get out there much sooner too.
Ryan, I have not forgot about it. A video like that, this was the main one I did, Rob. I don't know if you watched it. Where
I clicked on it, but I walked away.
Yeah, perfect. The Joes go to the Death Star by mistake. It's supposed to be the Terradrome. It's hilarious.
This is the Boss Hog one?
Yeah, Ryan, I got to be in a certain kind of mood to do that. I got to be really energized and feeling really silly. So it is coming, but it's almost one of those things where I have to wake up and I'm like, yep, okay, today's the day. I can't plan it with a schedule because I can't plan. That's just me, right? You have to be in, I have to want to act different characters and stuff like that. So it's coming, man. I've taken a tally of everyone's choose your own adventure and which one won. So it's coming.
I like that. I like letting the fans chime in to see where it goes. It's almost like Clue, the different endings. So what you should really do is film all three and then put out the ones the fans pick first and then see, or
that's a good
like
idea.
The Scooby-Doo ending, right, from Wayne's World, or is it this version?
Right, right, yeah.
Do that. I like that. What else have we got? I guess we could get to the main topic this week. I had a major clickbait thumbnail for the show, a new toy show. Everybody's probably like, what? They're doing a new toy show?
They got another show. Figure
Adventure, season three. Is it Five Favorite Figures, which they promised to make and never made? Rob wouldn't even go on the show. It was Tater instead when they talked about it on the live stream. They really abandoned the concept and hooked us in. What freaking frauds.
Does he really click on the videos and just walk away? What an asshole.
He does. He doesn't even want to be friends with himself. So the question is, you know, a new toy show. And I wanted to throw it to you, Jay. What kind of toy show do you think needs to be made or would you like to see? And everybody in the chat, chime in. I want to hear what you guys think is a great idea for a toy show that isn't something we've already seen. You know, just, and you could describe it in different elements. I don't expect, you know, a perfect, you know, two or three sentence elevator pitch, but you know, what would you like to see in a toy show? What's would be a really great toy show that hasn't been made yet that should be made?
And I don't know.
Copyright Rob McCallum. If it's said on the stream, we own it.
Okay. I've always loved hearing personal stories about anything and people's passion about anything. So I think more stuff about how Nathan and I did our five favorite figures of all time. We kind of explained each figure why. I love to hear stuff like that. Like why Carson's favorite figure is Lieutenant Falcon. Out of all 500 G.I. Joes, why is it Falcon? I love to hear stuff like that. Personal stories. I love how the stories of action figure. We heard that when we went to the children's hospital, right? How action figures give kids courage. You know, they hold the Superman figure and all of a sudden they're not as afraid to go and get the god-awful tests they have to get done and stuff like that. I love hearing stories like that. Now, I mean, that's kind of like what we do, but, I don't know. Other than that, I think, you know, adults playing with toys would be pretty funny, but I've already done that, so no one do that. Those are only two things.
So let me get this straight. You've essentially pitched what you do on YouTube and what we do with Action Figure Adventure.
Yeah. I mean, you don't see adults play with toys. And if you watch my video, you'll see exactly why. It's friggin' embarrassing, but it's funny. I would like to see that. And I don't think I would like to see the whole person, just the hands of the people. Like, wouldn't it be cool to see like Brad Pitt and Tom Cruise like play like G.I. Joe and you see their hands and they do the voices?
Well, that's a different thing, right? Because there's a celebrity appeal to how people.
Sure. So that's how I'm changing it from my thing. Like,
well, you're actual Hollywood celebrities. NESJ. Right?
Yeah. Well, I'm not a Hollywood celebrity.
Canadian celebrity. Byron
celebrity. It's three people.
You should contact some of the people that you like to collaborate with on YouTube and basically set up like a multiverse story where there's a chapter that unfolds with you and they're like, oh, if only Optimus Prime could get us or whatever. And then it cuts to like, I don't know, somebody who's playing with Prime and does a story there. And then like it keeps going and snowballs chapter by chapter, almost like a lot of comic communities and cities will do like a comic jam. Well, everybody will draw like one or two panels or a page, yeah, and then somebody else will do the next page and keep advancing the story.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I've talked about it with a few people, but again, it's getting past that wall of feeling like really silly. Beer might help. Who knows? But I mean, doing it just myself, it's, yeah, I mean, I feel pretty silly doing it, but it's fun, man. And you know, when I'm editing this stuff, and I think I'm hilarious for some reason. So when I'm watching the playback, I'm just laughing. It's like, you know what? If I just made myself laugh and nobody else laughs, then mission accomplished.
That's cool too. Ryan's chiming in and he says, you guys are creating what I've been wanting to see. I was so excited to find your stuff on streaming. You guys should be on History or Discovery. I can definitely picture that. Well, that's kind of you. Feel free to write them.
Ryan's such a good dude, man. Like he comments on every single video that I make, and he's
likewise
on every stream we do. And I can't thank you enough, man. It's you know, guys like you, this is why we do it for guys.
It really makes it worthwhile. Like I think there's been three or four comments on that Disney video that I made that you talked about. But yeah. The fact that I got any comments made the work that I put into it like, oh, that's more digestible. It's pretty cool that somebody actually took the time to watch this. And that's no different than the films or the shows that we do when we get comments on that stuff. It's great.
Yeah. I mean, YouTube's a bit, you know, it's more personal when something's playing on Amazon. You know, there's no room to like reach out to us. And I would like to know what people thought more of the episodes of season one for Action Figure Adventure. That would be really cool. I always wanted to hear, you know, would you have taken that flag if you were in my shoes? Would you have taken the flag? Would you have gone for the barge? What would you have done differently? I don't hear enough of that.
You know what's funny? Everybody plays the home game that I hear from. They're always yelling at you or questioning what you're doing. But I will say unequivocally, nobody talks about the episodes. They talk about the season. They talk about the whole season, the whole show as one whole, because usually they're watching multiple episodes at a time. Whether it's never just one, they watch two or three and then they pause and do something else and come back to it. So where one episode begins and the other ends, the lines are so blurred because most of the time we try to end on a cliffhanger, right? So that part of the story is always...
Well, it is really, one story for sure. I mean, you can separate them in that usually in each episode, it's a different store or a different situation. But ultimately, it is one whole story.
And I think, and I even talked to you about season two, I'm like, I almost kind of want to call this, you know, season one part two, because it feels like it picks up right where season one left off without missing a beat. I mean, obviously there's a recap and there's some time and stuff, but it feels so similar in structure and tone and mission and whatnot that you could go from watching episode 10 to watching episode 11 if you thought of it that way.
I remember sitting in, you know, we shot in my backyard. I think it was the first thing we shot for my interview, telling the audience where, you know, what we're doing and all that kind of thing. And I remember like, in between the takes and the cuts and stuff, I was like, are we doing this already? Like, I just remember like,
yeah,
wow. Like, here we go again. Like, this is crazy.
Ryan's chiming in once more with praise and the check is in the mail. Ryan, thank you guys. He says, love what you're doing. And I want to see you grow as much as possible. I'm going to start bugging History and Discovery about you guys. Skelevator is following up saying, I want to see a show that visits collectors' caves, especially those that have built unique environments. Sorry, that is pretty Skelevator centric. You know what? I've had talks about doing basically a toy room tour show. And the problem that I've come up against is, it's hard to fill like a half hour slot with it. Usually the toy room tours, and we feature them in season one and season two of the Jane Rob Toy Show that were broadcast. You can grab those on Vimeo. They only last about 7 minutes per visit at most, because it's, why have you designed the whole place, in seeing a lot of footage, pointing out some of the key pieces and a little bit of the story. But then that's it, because it's already done. You never see anything unfold. So you're just hearing about stuff. And what makes Action Figure Adventure work by comparison is it's your showing and not telling. So with Toy Room Tours, it's always just telling and telling and telling. And you're not really showing too much other than, here's this cool, you know, Mickey Mouse figure I got. And I got it there. So this is why it's one of my favorite pieces. That's great. But you're still just hearing about it rather than seeing something like actively happen. So I love the Toy Cave thing. There's been lots of shows out there. Like Cribs is a perfect example of something that's unique into its environment. Anything that's on Home and Garden Television, like Curb Appeal or Property Brothers, where you see the transformation, is great. But it's really hard and expensive to travel to toy rooms all over the place and hope that you get enough for an episode, let alone a third of an episode.
Well, one thing is certain. I was just thinking back, you know, about 20 minutes. So that's how my mind works. Bear with me. I was just thinking, one thing is certain about the items that I pick is that the sale barge is always a winner. So I think for season three, another barge, let's do it. Cause that one, you know,
the hat trick,
it just wins. Yeah.
Is the barge quest.
Random thought popped into my head. I had to say it.
the random thought that just popped in there for me too, when I was setting up the Kickstarter, is this is actually the first sequel we've ever done.
Yeah.
I didn't ever think about it like that.
Nintendo Quest or TurboGrafx Quest, which I wanted to do.
A Genesis Quest from Windsor to Ottawa. Wasn't that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool, but it's different, right?
More video the same, games are
so different, and you know, I would love to do a sequel to Nintendo Quest, but from everything that I've been researching and reading over the past year or so, prices are so crazy with retro games. A lot of the old school vintage collectors are quitting because it's like astronomically crazy now.
It's crazy not to sell it if you're not super attached to it because of the value of these games.
Yeah, games have just skyrocketed. So, you know, I mean, I think that's kind of good because I was worried when the Nintendo eShop came out that all these like Earthbound and all these games would like it would make the cart crash, but it hasn't touched it at all. Not at all.
And I got to tell you, because I'm still editing and releasing episodes of the real Nintendo Quest, the uncut, unabridged version of our journey, and watching you go into stores and they're like $5 a game. You're like, no, I can only afford $3 for an NES game. It's like, it's so insane. Not even thinking about today's prices, but just even thinking back on what we went through, that you were only going to pay $3 for a Nintendo game, like Skate or Die or 720. I'm only paying $3 for that.
Was that Skylar, my buddy I was bullying? Like, no, you're just gonna give
of
me
the
that.
Many people. Of the many people. You should see that. It's funny.
It's so embarrassing. I don't want to watch that. I was gonna say, like,
I can't spoil it, but I just finished editing the Buffalo Flea Market stuff.
Oh, that was with a dick, that guy?
Several, it turns out. I had forgotten everything that happened there, except for the little scene where you and I are talking outside the car, which is like the only thing in the
film. You gotta do me a solid. I know you said that the footage isn't that great of the, I'll just call it the family scene.
Yeah.
But just hold your phone up to like your screen sometime and just record it just so I can kind of relive. You don't have to cut this big fancy thing, but I want to see footage of that, man.
No, it's getting released. Don't worry.
Is it coming out?
Okay. Oh, it's all coming out, buddy. There's nothing I'm holding back. And right now I'm editing VGX, which is awesome. You can tell it's a special stop already. From where I'm
at. Going back to your, you know, Skate or Die for $3. I mean, VGX was a store that I really, really cleaned up at and got some titles for what? I can't even remember how cheap. $1 for a lot of them, I think.
You have to watch the episode and then you'll find out.
Yeah. Good stuff.
I want to get to one more fun question before we jump to Action Figure Spotlight. And that's, are there any oddball crossovers that you think should happen? I mean, recently, and I know you guys had the live stream about the Transformers G.I. Joe crossover with Megatron and the Hiss Tank. I thought, well, what about some oddball crossovers? Is there anything that you would like to see?
You know, I'm not a huge fan of that stuff. I didn't like the G.I. Joe Transformers comic book. I thought it was just kind of bizarre. And I think because the toys were so out of scale from each other, I mean, you really couldn't play G.I. Joe and Transformers because Duke was like half the size of Megatron, which makes no sense, right?
You could have like Megatron and like the world's tiniest or world's smallest G.I. Joe figures, I guess.
Yeah, you could do it that way, which is like makes it even less appealing to me. I guess with, you know, Multiverse of Madness, you could really make anything happen.
I've got some ideas here.
I don't want to see any Star Wars, anything with Multiverse. Let's just leave it alone. Oh, geez, let me look around here.
I've got some ideas that I'd like you to weigh in on. And I think some of these would be more fun as customs just to put in your collection rather than a full-blown line, although some of them would be cool. But I don't think they'd appeal to everybody, probably just like the two lines that they cross over.
Yeah.
I thought, and I don't know why, I thought it would be pretty cool to have a Teenage Mutant Ninja Barbie line.
What a stupid thing to say.
I suppose you won't like my G.I. Gem idea either.
Yeah, but you're just playing off the names.
No, I was Teenage Mutant Ninja Barbie, a name playoff. I would love to see.
What does
Barbie,
G.I. Joe have to do with Gem? That's just
I
like
would
making,
just like the crossover where Gem, instead of being a rock band, was like in the military and you have like the Misfits.
Oh, I thought you meant like Gem meets G.I. Joe. It's like you could have like Gem meet like Shipwreck and Snake Eyes, and it could be like the whole Cold Slither episode.
No, it would be like a brand new line that would kind of cross-pollinate the idea. So you could do G.I. Gem where Gem is in the military, or like Scarlet is a rock star.
A horrible idea. I don't
Teenage Mutant Ninja Barbie is a winner, I'm telling you right now. One that I think would be huge with fans is Masters of the Turtleverse. So instead of the He-Man buck, you have turtle bucks of all the different characters. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I'm fine with that because the WWF Origins is pretty fun. That's a fun little line, right? I don't know. I don't want to play this. I don't like that.
Bog Formers? This would, of course, be the mashup of Boglins and Transformers. Soft, good Transformers. Come on.
Boglins, like, I got to tell you, I got to be honest. They make me feel sick. Like, touching it, that latex. That latex, man, I can't. I don't want to play with any of that. I saw one the other day, and I was holding it. It's just disgusting to me. Ugh.
Okay, here's one that is less about mashing two lines up, but more about the representation of a line, and that's Superpowers of the Force. So Star Wars figures done in the superpower style.
I don't want to play this game anymore. Star Wars figures, the last thing they need is power action. I'll tell you that right now. I only forgive them because the figures are so amazing. But no, I don't want that.
Okay.
I don't want any crossovers.
We can move on. You're not a fan of the crossovers. You're very much a puritanical figure collector. Other than playing Mix Up, heaven forbid worlds collide.
Mix Up is great. Mix Up is the game we played where we mixed up all the lines in one big universe. I like that, but I don't like
Know about Operation Recall, Jay?
I do, absolutely.
Yeah. Do you want to tell people about Operation Recall?
Operation Recall is an incredible project from Carson Metaxas, who runs 3djoes.com, the greatest G.I. Joe site on the planet. If you guys want to see anything to do with Joe's pictures, file cards, clear photos of the figures, go there. He went back and got a bunch of the original creators,
you know, to who they are,
create his childhood G.I. Joe creation.
Oh, it's more than that. It's a little bit more than that, but that's 100% right so far. So we're screen sharing right now, and look at these names right here. Jay, feel free to sound these off and give a little insight.
Yeah, you got Kirk Bazigian, of course, Larry Hama, Ron Rudat. I mean, right there. Is that not enough? Like, the fact that...
If it's not, we've got three more.
Yeah, the three top, they're all legends, but the three top guys right there are behind Carson on this project. So basically, these guys came out of retirement and created this G.I. Joe. It was just a very primitive drawing that Carson did when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And this was his creation.
Yeah, and it has
come to life. It's incredible. Look at it. Yeah.
Legendary creators back on active duty, which is awesome. And of course, in addition to those three, we've got Ed Morrow, who's a package and brand identity executive, Doug Hart, who joined Hasbro in 84, who did a lot of packaging art as well. In addition to Hector Garrido, and then Bill Merklin, who is a figure sculptor who gave everybody that distinct look and stuff that we know so well. What's really exciting to me, Jay, about Operation Recall is it doesn't just begin and end with Carson's famed design for Rotello, which is a drone pilot recon figure by the looks of it. They are now extending figure submissions to the entire action figure community. So if you have an idea, up to three for a G.I. Joe figure, your own custom idea, you can submit it with drawings and whatever visual materials you had for those legendary guys to consider. How many of us, wanted to send Hasbro what we wanted for an action figure and never heard back? Well, this is a little bit more close and personal, a little bit more of an inside edge. If you've got a cool G.I. Joe concept for a figure that should come back or should get created, check out Operation Recall. Check out the submission process. We've shared it to the Action Figure Adventure Facebook page.
This is a real life Steel Brigade.
Yeah.
Only you're creating the way he looks as well. It's not just a generic figure you get back with a bio. This is an actual design that you can have. You can have your very own G.I. Joe character. Who wouldn't want that? We've all dreamed of it. We've all dreamt up of ideas of what our ideal Joe would be. Now's your chance to do that. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's cool, and we're going to be tracking this and see where it goes. And I think Carson's got some more tricks up his sleeve, but right now it's just the early days of everything Operation Recall, so get ready. It's getting intense. It's getting intense. That'll bring us to Action Figure Spotlight this week, though, Jay. And you and I both have figures. Do you want to go first? If you go first, that'll give me a chance to slip out to the restroom because I've had 4 cups of coffee since we started, and I'm going to give you center stage. Can you do that?
Yeah. Do you want to bring up the photo before you?
Did you want me to do the photo first or come back and then do the photo?
Come back and then bring it up. Okay.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. So we've talked time and again on our show here about the Mythic Legions line and how great that is. Now, I haven't collected Mythic Legions at all. It's medieval swords and sorcery kind of thing with no huge backstory to it. But in the 80s, I did collect a line from a toy company called LJN called Advanced Dungeons and Dragons. Now, I didn't know anything about D&D. I was just, you know, I was too young to play D&D. But these figures came out the same time the cartoon did. The cartoon was great. The figures didn't really match the show, so the line really, really faded away into nothing. It was based more on the D&D role-playing game, and there was no figures for the cartoon, so it didn't make sense. Regardless, these figures came out, and they were gorgeous. They're brightly colored. I've gone on and on for years about Warduke from this line, how he's my favorite action figure of all time. Mm-hmm. I don't know. A close second would be this guy, and this is my spotlight here. This would be from the second wave. This is a Black Knight by the name of Grimsword, who has one of the greatest weapons in the history of toys, which is this mace, Morningstar, whatever you want to call it. So it's a cobra with an actual plastic working linked chain with a ball on the end.
How hard is that to find?
Very hard. I thank our buddy Brom for hooking me up with that weapon right there, because that not only are these figures next to impossible to find, and I'm not even kidding, unless you go on eBay, you can't find D&D stuff anywhere. You never see D&D stuff anywhere. Again, obscure toy line that failed miserably. And he's missing his sword, so we're going to bring up a photo here of Grimsword. So those are all the accessories that he does come with there. And just look at that figure. How incredible he is. The design of him is just fantastic. There's that Morning Star up close, and there's the sword. If there's any Grimsword fans out there that have an extra one, let me know, because I need one.
I would Jay, that Morning Star, according to the image that you picked up there, that chain, that plastic chain link ball, looks like it could slip off with relative ease. Like if there's any contact during playtime, that's probably coming off.
Yeah, it's very delicate. I can't remember the other character, but there's another, I think it's a female knight who has something similar to that from the second wave. It's got spikes on the end. But you can see where that thing would get lost, or like you just said, you swing that and hit another figure and chances are the chain is going to break. So I've had Grimsword for a while, but it was the ball and chain. So I guess the ball and chain is really my action figure spotlight. This figure is also, of course, getting a brand new life, second life, getting a new sculpt by NECA. He is coming out this year with Warduke. I don't know where they're going with this line. I guess we'll have to see how well those two figures do, but I'm looking forward to seeing the new Grimsword.
Now, it's such a cool weapon. Does it have a name? Is there like a unique name for it?
I'm sure there is. I don't know. I think this is not a mace. It's a Morning Star. If my old school medieval mythology, if that part of my brain still works. Yeah, it's a Morning Star on the chain. Yeah, and I'm just looking actually at the chain up close, and it's just hanging in there. By the there's like the snake teeth go down skin over it. So it's actually in there, like you can't pull it out. So the only way this would come out is if it does break. And actually didn't even know he had a sword until I got the Morning Star this week, and I'm like, oh sweet, he's complete. Then I looked
him up. Can he even hold both weapons and the shield?
Yep, so that little yellow sheath thing on the left side of him, you just hook the chain onto that, and the Morning Star dangles. Just looks absolutely cool. Yeah. But I mean, look at the sword, you know, who cares about it? It's just a generic curved sword. They could have made the sword a little bit better given how amazing that figure looks. But yeah,
I think all the tooling went to the figure in the Morningstar.
Sure. Why. And you were in the washroom. I was just saying how
I heard everything. I
got the advanced D&D stuff. That's my Mythic Legions.
Yeah. And so, and I would say that Mythic Legions actually has a crazy backstory. It's like pages and pages and pages and pages, pages long. Yeah. But, and you can read everything on the Four Horsemen site about that. In fact, it is so overwhelming that you have to go back and make multiple trips. But I'm hoping that the Mythic Legions game that comes out makes it more digestible and easy to kind of retain and go.
Yeah, because you know I can't read. I can't read on the weekends.
You don't want to learn. You didn't watch enough Sesame Street. I understand. I understand. This week, I thought I would pick a figure that you guys did the top five not too long ago. And I thought, well, what are some of like my favorite figures and best examples of characters that I just, it's impossible to ignore, impossible not to get that shiny toy smile on your face when you see it. And it's of course Masters of the Universe, which surprised nobody.
Barbie, Gem Barbie. You know me.
Gem Barbie. Gem and Joe. In particular, I love the Club Grayskull, the Filmation style Merman. I don't know why I have such a thing for Merman in every iteration. This is by far my favorite Merman figure that was ever released. The color, I think, is dead accurate to what Filmation should have been. There was some weird color changing timing, what they call color timing, where they thought the sky was supposed to be a different color. And as a result, anything that was blue kind of went the other way that it was supposed to go. So he was supposed to be turquoise and not as blue as he is in the cartoon. So I think this is color accurate, but it's just such a cool figure. And you never see these figures anymore.
Nope.
It's one of the best cartoon likeness figures I've ever seen. I think Hordak is maybe the other one in the line and the Sorceress, but the Sorceress has such a problem with her wings that she can't be number one or number two. But Merman, again, perfect articulation, awesome accessories. And it does my favorite thing that all good figures do well, and that's the stand test. As soon as you put it down, bam, it stands. There's no fuss. Yeah. It just sits there. So I have a picture, too, that we can put up in case everybody wants to see a little bit easier. There he is just standing there. Just rock solid. You do a great Merman impression. Do you say something as Merman? Funny guy.
Oh, man. I don't have enough spit in my mouth. Maybe one of the characters in my next Joe want to be Mer guy. That's a great figure, and I have She-Ra from Club Grayskull is the only one that I managed to snag because again I was late to that game. But those figures are crazy, man, and they're so expensive now, like classics. But I think Club Grayskull is just a fantastic line.
It's one of the few Club Grayskull figures that I did the rule of two for.
Oh yeah, I liked
it that much.
If you really love it, you got to. Not everyone, but yeah. Skelevator. Oh, thanks, dude. If you
he's
got
any that Merman is guys, the best,
let me know.
Yeah. Jay, any last parting thoughts before we wrap the show? This week has flown by, which has been fantastic. It sucks that it's over.
I mean, thanks to everybody again for showing up and accommodating us in our new slot. I think Saturday afternoon fits both our schedules better and it's just a little bit more relaxed. So thank you for everyone who can make it.
Yeah.
Again, thanks for checking out Rob's video this week and mine as well. The Indiana Jones one is doing really well. I really appreciate it. And if you guys are free tonight, I'll be streaming with our good buddy HCC788, Articulated Chad, who's in the chat as well, and my buddy Neil. We'll be ranking G.I. Joe figures and making fun of them and, you know, ranking them from A to F. So tune in at 7 o'clock if you guys are free and just hang out on a Saturday night and talk about Joes with some Joe guys.
I like that you have a Saturday evening weekly stream that rotates amongst different topics, whether it's stuff like Foo Fighters and rock and roll, just having fun ranking figures like you're doing tonight or discussing like you were with Book of Boba Fett when that was happening too. I like that it's just a revolving pop culture live stream.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, I mean, I was going to do a blog. I talked about that. I had a big life-changing event in December, and I was going to start doing a video thing, but I like this better. I like having different guests on and different topics. You're not really pigeonholed to anything, so thank you.
Yeah. And I want to echo Jay's comments. I appreciate everybody that can come out and accommodate the new time. And, you know, if it works better for you and you weren't able to catch any of the other ones, that's great. Welcome to the party. We also know, according to my YouTube analytics and our podcast stats, that most of the time it's, you know, less than 5% that come to the live streams, regardless of the slot, and everybody's catching them on kind of the replay or when it's convenient anyway. So we just appreciate all the views, all the listens, all the watch. The watches that happen. So thanks for clicking the like button, the subscribe button, so that you can get more of this stuff. It is truly, truly awesome and, you know, makes it worthwhile. And I'm sorry that that Disney Ultimates video I created for Action Figure Wishlist made you not want to make any more videos, Jay. I'm sorry. Do you have any lists or lines that you'd like to see me tackle for Action Figure Wishlist? I'm looking for recommendations.
Man, I think everybody is dying to see you do something with Masters. I mean, it's... You're the He-Man guy, and it's your favorite toy line, so I would love to see anything Masters. Maybe something more obscure, like maybe...
more obscure than Disney Ultimates?
No, I'm saying really? Masters of the Universe, but like classics specifically, and you could just use pictures for this, like villains that were like one-off. They were just in one show. Like maybe top five or top 10, like one-off classics figures. There you go. There's one for you. Some cool.
I'll write that down and get to that. They did like every figure in classics. I feel like there's like
no, but I mean more than your 10 favorite of the obscure.
Oh, well, that's not Action Figure Wishlist. Action Figure Wishlist is which figures would we like to see that never got made or are yet to be made. So one that I'm considering is Origins. Which Origins figures? Masterverse, because it's a completely different line as well for He-Man. G.I. Joe Classified. You can probably guess one or two that I'd like to see in that. So TMNT Ultimates is obviously another easy one. So superpowers.
Are we done?
We're done. Thanks for watching, everybody. Jay, where should people watch your stuff?
YouTube, my friends, Jay Bartlett. I am the king of the Jay Bartletts now on YouTube. So sorry, Exorcist, but you can suck it.
And you can catch me here on YouTube, of course. But come talk with me on Twitter at Rob McZob. We get a lot of toy chats going now there, which is really fun. And as up the ante, we get a lot of discussion going there about what works back and forth and sharing with other collectors. It's getting out of the echo chamber. You actually get to hear new thoughts, which is awesome as well. Jay, you know, for the love of toys and the warmth of scarves, take care of yourselves
and each other.
Is the best time of day, Mr. Jay Bartlett, is
playtime.
I want everybody to have a tray cool day. Cheers.